Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us, and we're glad you tune in each and every week on Thursday night. But did you know LA Talk Radio plays us on Friday night and several other broadcasts, not only on Channel 1, but also on Channel 2? So if you miss us, which we hope you don't, please download or listen online to the show. We want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here each and every week to be with you. And now, Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
I love it, and I want to share.
Awesome. So, I know you did the Monday and Wednesday night show. Tell me, how were they?
I thought they were good. I felt good about what I did, and I liked what the people got from me and from each other. And so it did well, as far as I know.
Well, I know you also had a Saturday class, and how was that?
Yes, That was just great. It was fine.
And tell me, what class are you? Do you have a class this coming Saturday?
Yes, script class. Last class was getting to I Do.
Getting to I Do is always fun, but the script class is so amazing.
Yes, it is.
It is so revealing to do that work with you.
I know. One of the benefits of being a transactional analyst is what Eric Byrne and Claude Steiner and Finita English and Muriel James, what they created, built on Sigmund Freud's work, but simplified it so that normal, simple human beings up to geniuses could get something from it.
Exactly. And I love the simplicity, and I love the way that you've made it so that your layperson can understand it, because it's great when a peer understands something, but sometimes a layperson doesn't always get it. They don't understand the vernacular or what have you. Same thing with law, which I worked in for many years, and I used to say to the attorneys, these are lay people. They didn't go to college for hundreds of years to become an attorney, so they don't understand this stuff. So I think it's great, because I love the way you've done that.
Good.
Let's see. Switchboard says we are having calls coming in. I'm telling them we're ready. We're ready. Yeah. So script class is coming up. And you know what? You can do that by phone appointment. Oh, we've got a call on the air. Hey, caller, you're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. And this is like my third time calling. It's always the same issue. My husband, I know, it's just reoccurring. So my husband is he's a little reckless with money and his business, and it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical. And I'm having a really hard time, just time after time, kind of riding the roller coaster with him. So right now he's decided to kind of take on a business adventure, and he's lost a significant amount of money, and he's out of town. And I mean, my man brain just wants to be like, you're being a freaking idiot. What the hell are you doing? And I'm finding it really hard to not say anything. So I've just told him, this feels really scary. I don't like being insecure. I don't like, being in debt. And he just keeps telling me, I know what I'm doing. I know my business. Trust me. I made a mistake. I'll make it right. He's basically telling me, stop trying to tell him how to run his business. I don't know what to do. It just feels so horrible.
Or get a divorce.
No, I love him. He's a wonderful, other than...
I got news for you. Love means you accept him the way he is. You don't sound like you like him anymore.
I mean, I just don't like his bad business decisions, because they feel
I understand that. So you need some phantom balls and permission from me and a willingness to lose him. Remember, keep your yang mouth shut unless you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer. Do you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer? Or is that your ego saying, I'm a better man in this subject than he is, and I want to fire him?
No, it's the second. It's my ego saying I'm a better man.
Okay, then get a divorce and be a better man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that.
You did?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to get a divorce. He's amazing. I can't even tell you. He's 91% valuable. It's just this one area of life. I don't know. It's just amazing to me, like how he just keeps self-sabotaging, you know, in his business.
Well, I've got news for you. That's his business and you're his partner. So who taught you this judgmental masculine way of being married? Your mom and dad?
Probably my mom. Yeah, my mom. She married very weak men that had, and then just pretty much.
Did your mom disrespect your dad?
Oh, gosh, yes. She doesn't have any respect for men.
Okay. And her dad did her dirt.
I'm sure. I don't know a lot about it, but yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I want you and all the women listening to this show to put your hand up, your right hand in the air, and follow me. I promise. On my honor. To respect the men I love.
To respect the men I love.
Even when I think I'm smarter and could do it better.
I think I'm smarter and can do it better.
Furthermore,
I promise
to keep my yang mouth shut.
To keep my yang mouth shut.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A doctor.
A doctor.
Or a lawyer first.
Or a lawyer first.
Being a woman with a career on the side. You can choose to change it to a career woman anytime you want. Did your mom and dad stay together? Were they married?
Yeah, but no, they divorced a long time ago when I was young.
And who divorced who?
My mom divorced him because he was a gambler.
I understand that. That's how he got his dopamine up, with money. Money, sex, and mind-altering chemicals. So your mom and dad learned some bad tricks from their family. It's called scripting.
Yes.
There's a wonderful book out there, and it's called Scripts People Live by Claude Steiner, a protege of Eric Byrne. So it sounds like you're having some script attacks.
Yeah, I thought I would maybe make an appointment with you to find out exactly like what the script is so I can be more aware of it and not feed into it so much.
It's called You're Supposed to Do Good to Feel Good, and you say your man brings you feel good to do good, but it's not enough. You want him to be perfect as a man as well as a woman. He has a man's body, but he has a woman's soul, the anima. And you have a woman's body, but a male soul, the animus. And you're exhibiting your male soul right now, and it's fine, because I give you permission to divorce your wife.
Oh, gosh. No, I don't. We have a lovely dynamic, and I have been able to stay in my feminine energy, and it's been amazing how the relationship's unfolded, but in this one area, when it comes to money and him and his business.
Money is so left lobe oriented. It takes brains to run money. It takes a loving heart to be sexual. Sex and money are two of the biggest builders and destroyers in a relationship.
Yeah.
And using mind-altering drugs, whether you make them in yourself or you buy them on the street, undoes. Because when a man uses, he knocks out his intuition and his brain and becomes a flaky woman. And when women use sugar, booze, drugs, she knocks out her sensitive feelings, which are built to say no to things she doesn't like. And it turns her into a do-good boy. So, are you drinking or misusing sugar?
No. We're okay. Both, neither one of us do really anything like any of that.
I fully understand that. Thank God. That's an asset. But it sounds like your homeland script training is seeping up on you and inviting you to do transgender psychological surgery.
Yes, I guess. All right.
Right?
So what do you just do
about this conversation?
I'm going to not be the man. I don't want to, and I'm not going to divorce him, so it really only leaves me one option.
All right.
Just follow and let him just figure it out.
Patient and vulnerable.
Okay. I got it. It's so funny. It's always the same.
Reality will teach him. He'll learn from reality faster than he'll learn from you.
No, he's getting so mad at me right now. Last night he was just like, you need to stop. And I was like,
You know what? He's warning you. He didn't marry a man.
Yes. Okay.
Go back to being feminine.
And here's a question. Was he able to run the business before you?
No, he developed it when we first got together, so.
And has he been successful?
You know, he gets successful and then he'll do a change and then lose the little success he made. And then, you know, but that's been his pattern throughout his life with other, jobs and stuff.
Mm.
I mean, he keeps thinking because
Jefferson did the same thing with 13,000 light bulbs.
Yes, he did.
Okay. I know. I mean, he's honest. He says, look, you know, I made a mistake. I'll make it better. Just let me make it. He basically says, back off and let me try and make it better.
You know what? Either leave him or do what he asks.
Or back off. Yeah, you're right. Oh, it's just so hard. You know, like you said, the scripting, like, you just, like, in my head, I'm so different with money and, you know, and risk-taking. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, my, you know, I just feel like I know better. And it's so hard to shut that part of me up.
Then don't shut it up. Leave him.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to shut it up.
Well, if you're not going to do it, then do what we're saying.
Yeah,
shut
okay,
your yang mouth.
All right.
Men don't like to be emasculated, and at some point it won't be your choice. He'll make a choice.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
I know. That's why I'm calling, because I don't want to. You know,
good.
We're you know
all right.
This isn't happening too often, so I'm still in the early stages where I can not do too much
all
damage.
Right. So fight with us, not him.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, caller.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Bye.
Keep it that mouth shut.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I will. Bye.
That's a rough one, Dr. Allen, especially when, like you said, we think we know and can do it better.
No, but we think the people that taught us, they knew, and they taught us how to do our know. This is
exactly.
All scripting.
Yep. Hey, we've got another caller.
Hello.
On the line. Hi, caller. Good. You're on the air with Dr. Allen live. Do you have a question?
I do, yes. So here's my question, my first question. And this kind of stuff happens all the time to me. So I was talking to a man I met at a party like over a year ago, and we're kind of connected through business. And we were texting back and forth, and it was business talk, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, "Hey, are you single yet?" And I said, "I am." And he says, "Really, what happened?" And I said, "Oh, we just figured out that it wasn't going to work long term, but, you know, it's fine, no drama." So then he says, and this has happened before, he says, "Oh, nice, you can borrow me when you need to." And I said, "All right. That's so kind of you." Yeah, but he didn't ask me. He's like, "You can borrow me when you need to." And I said, "That's very kind of you. For what purposes?" And he says,
good.
And he says, "Drinking buddy. I don't even drink that much." And
I understand,
it was kind of strange.
You drink, what happens? You knock out your instinct and you do something intellectually, like screw him, and then you really cause trouble.
Yeah, and I said, I'll keep that in mind.
Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want, because their instinct tells them it's bad and wrong. We have a brain that mixes our thoughts and feelings. Right-handed men have a small corpus callosum, and because of that, they're either thinking or they're feeling. So they make better policemen and paramedics than we do, because we mix our feelings and our thoughts. But we run the emotional show, because we're the ones that say, "No, I'm not happy, I don't like this, and if it doesn't stop, I'm leaving."
Sure, so what do I do with this? So, you know, when he said drinking buddy, I said, "I'll keep that in mind." And then he answered, "Oh, not." And I said, "Okay, I won't keep that in mind." And then it just went back to business conversation. He started it. I didn't, you know, this isn't, and he has done this before. Like, he texts me, asks me, he'd say something, "Oh, you're, you know, you're such a keeper," just bullshit. But this man, I'm, you know, I was at your class, a month and a half ago, where you told me that I need to date someone who's at least 10 to 15 years older, because they're more respectable. This one is at least, I think he's at least 42, and I'm 34. So, I don't know. This is strange. And I get this stuff all the time, this kind of like wishy-washy stuff from men.
Those may be left-handed men or ambidextrous men, or they might even be biologically gay, and they can mix their thoughts and feelings. So they sometimes get as confused as we are. Okay?
But then what does that have to do with him not just asking me out, just straight, just saying, "Hey, oh, you're single now, great, let's go out"? Why doesn't he do that? Because I know he likes me. I mean, at least as
I got news. He goes from A to B to C to D. Takes him a while to get to Z. We go from to Z in 20 seconds. Ooh, I want it now.
Okay.
That's when we go male. The sperm moves, the egg sits. We're designed to be eggs. They're designed to be sperms.
Yes.
You see? Even though the sperm is a small cell in the body, and the egg is big, the ovum is a big cell. But the sperm is the one that gives the identity, boy, girl. It carries a lot of energy. It's the individuation system. Abraham Maslow has a wonderful book, Toward the Psychology of Being. You either be who you are, you see, or you're D. He is in dog, position. And you run around the world mumbling and not knowing what you want if you're a man, and you don't know what you don't want if you're a woman. And so you have a lot of problems for yourself. That's what I do with androgynous semantic realignment. I teach you how to talk negotiate. Beware of your thoughts,
got it.
They become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, the doctor's office being healthy, and in all of the loving relationships you have, especially the sexual ones.
I see. So with this guy, if I was, like, because I'd like to go out with him, what, do I do nothing? Like, to just stay, like, how do, I don't really know what to
how
do.
How do you do what? What are you asking him, like, permission to do?
Well, if, do you think he still likes me and he's just taking time, or how does this work in this? What do you think about?
What purpose? Do you want to date him? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'd like to go on a date with him.
Okay, then be a man and ask him out on the date.
Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to be a man. I want to be female.
Do you want respect first, cherish second, or cherish first and respect second, or sex and respect and cherishing equally? Which one do you want?
Cherish first, respected second.
Okay, then you ask him, do you want to do this, or what do you think about doing that, and what can I do to help us do it? You respect
even him. Though we've never gone out, I can say that?
No, because you haven't started anything. He hasn't asked you out. If you want a man, you ask him out.
Oh, no, no.
And
no.
You pay for the date.
Oh, God, no. No way.
There are lots of women today that are voting to be respected first, cherished second.
Oh, I know. I'm not one of them, thankfully. For me, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If it works for other people, it's fine. It's just for me, I don't.
Yes,
that's not what
right.
I want to do.
That's right. All right.
Got it.
So
I had another quick question.
On...
Oh,
what?
Nothing. I'll do nothing. Next time, well, I do, however,
are you gonna
maybe
look him in
once.
The eyes and smile? Are you going to look him in
if
the
I
eyes
see
and
him,
smile?
Yes. Yep.
And not
yep.
talk first?
I will.
And not talk first?
No. No.
Okay, well, that's at least
I won't,
a start.
I won't talk. Mm-hmm.
First, respond.
Okay. Yeah, what, okay, so another question is this. So, so far I've sent two of my female friends to your Saturday classes, and one had a great experience. She came back happy. Then another one last weekend, I don't know what happened because she wouldn't even tell me, but she doesn't talk to me anymore.
Oh, well, maybe she didn't want to learn what she learned.
Probably, because I asked her, and she said, she commented about, she had a very strange comment about it, and I said, you know, I'm really surprised you don't have more emotions about it. Everyone that I had introduced to Pat Allen and her classes or her books had, like, great, you know, a lot to say, and they were really happy with the outcome and everything, and then nothing. And I tried to call her, she wouldn't pick up the phone. It's very strange. So should I just let it go, ignore her?
A lot of people. In Abraham Maslow's book, he lists 8 results of becoming individuated and actualized. People won't like you. They'll think you're snooty and snobby. You will not rescue people. You will not be responsible. You will not enable them. There's a price tag for becoming yourself. That's why so many people are zeros and let other people who are tens run their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've experienced this already. I had to let go of a few friends over the last few years because it was just, you know, I was no longer,
that.
You know what I mean?
You become incompatible.
They kind of fell off. Yeah. Yeah, we've become completely incompatible. Yeah. It's kind of scary, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's
I'd rather
right.
lose them than me.
And I want to recommend Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil.
It's a wonderful book.
Oh, it is a wonderful book. And that book says the devil is not a human or a being. It's the fear of change.
Fear of change, yeah.
You know that if you win the lottery and go bankrupt, they both rattle your cage.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, okay.
So things that are good have some bad in them, and things that are bad have some good in them.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to decide what you're willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I afford to do this? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm beyond this. I've made a decision 2 years ago. So, you know, whatever the byproducts of that are, it's just what it is. Okay. Well,
so
awesome. Yeah, we're done, but I'm very happy. I'm coming to both of your classes this weekend because I figured it saves me a trip. I live in Seattle, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, exciting.
You're going to take this. You're going to take script, and you're going to take...
Getting to I Do, yeah.
One.
Getting to I Do Sunday.
Wow. Okay.
I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, with the script, our first one-on-one session was the script analysis, but so much has changed since then. So I filled it out.
What,
and
in your life?
In my life, and some of the problems that I dealt with then are no longer what I'm dealing with now. So I think, you think it'd still be beneficial, right, to go over it again?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Learn something. If not from you, you'll learn it from the people, the other five people.
Yeah.
I've done my script with Dr. Allen multiple times, and each time I've learned something new, I see where my changes are, and it's eye-opening every time. I've never once ever not had, like, a wow.
Wow, really? Yeah, I think that's what I think. It's so interesting now, too, because like I said before, I recorded that session, and I listened to it a few days, and since I've changed so much of my ways, it's like listening to an idiot talk with your voice. It's so funny.
I love that.
What the hell? It's like, are you serious? What was wrong with you? So, I'm really excited.
A stolen voice.
I love that, though.
Yeah, a stolen voice.
That's your cute.
Amazing. That really was. That was awesome.
And we had one session and then a second session where you really, like, you did not hold back with your opinions. I'm like, well, no wonder she yelled at me. I was stupid.
Oh.
I would yell at me, too.
Oh, my goodness. It's like you were talking about your friend who's not talking to you anymore. And I find that often people are shocked by what Dr. Allen has to say, and it takes them a while to come around. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I mean, I prepared her. Like, I've explained to her. She knows, you know, why I started and how I found Dr. Allen and what I had done. And she's seen the positive results. I'm like, dude, come on. You know, this will be beneficial for you. And you already live in California. It's not like you have to travel from different stages. Go. And she said, finally, okay, yes. And then now it's just dead silence. But, you know, whatever. I think I did well.
So, good.
Well, excellent. Okay. Thank you so much. I really look forward to this weekend, and I'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks, caller.
Uh-huh, of course.
Bye. All right. Amazing, Dr. Allen. You have got somebody coming to not one, but two of your classes this weekend. That's totally stunning.
I'm doing two. I'm going to be going out of town to Boise, Idaho, to give three lectures to executives and main men in business.
Oh, very cool.
That's really nice. What?
Oh, we've got another. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have another question?
Oh, great. Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, well, I've called a few times about the same relationship. It was so weird. I kept feeling like I was a mistress in the relationship because of the guy's children. But then I actually found yes. out last week from his son that he is married. And he had told me that he was divorced twice. And so I confronted him on it, and he admitted he is married and had lied about it.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well, you know, at first I was talking to him, and he was, you know, explaining this and that, and, you know, all his wife's issues and whatnot, and, you know, would I stick with him through a divorce and stuff, and I considered it at first, even though it made me, you know, extremely upset. And then, you know, just like after a few days, you know, I just like could not do that. I just didn't feel like it went with my values and stuff, and I just felt really awful about it. And that he had lied so much, made up so many stories. So I did continue.
Just remember, everybody's doing the best they can,
yeah.
and will pay for what they're doing. So are you going to terminate him?
Yeah, I did. And I felt
did
sad
already.
About it, but I felt good about it. I mean, I felt like okay. I grew a lot, because normally I would just like continue or feel awful about it, you know. But I just
okay.
knew I couldn't do that.
But you did have fun along the way as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the part I missed. You know, we
did
have a great time.
Fun.
Got along great. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
so remember,
now, how long does it take?
If you're going to be a stoic, you've got to do what's right. I love
mm-hmm.
Marcus Aurelius's book, edited by Forstater, called The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, How to Be a Stoic Who Does What's Right, rather
mm-hmm.
than a hedonist who does what's gratifying, no matter what it costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do prefer to do what's right. And does
all
it,
right.
Because I know you talk about detoxing for 2 years. Does it still take 2 years to detox?
How long did
you
date
a committed
it?
Relationship?
Yeah.
Like about 9 months.
Mm.
No, I don't think it'll take 2 years for that. It's long term. Some people stay with people 5-10 years.
Yeah, no, just like you said, that sometimes when people have intercourse, that it takes like 2 years to detox.
It can take that long. It depends on how much your chemistry runs the show. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have more and less chemistry with each person. Chemistry, it's interesting, is pheromones. And pheromones are the cellular makeup of each person's body. And if
mm-hmm.
you as a woman are sitting next to a man whose pheromones are a little like your dad, but a little not like your dad, that's diversification, and there's a real chance that you will turn on. And for
mm-hmm.
3 days, you'll be detoxing off of that physical experience, even though you just sat next to him in church.
Yeah. Yeah,
nature
really good,
wants diversification.
Really good.
What?
Yeah, we did have very good chemistry. And I felt like
I was
kind of addicted to the physical.
That's bonding. That's bonding. Oxytocin bonding. Older men over 50 with less testosterone and younger women are on estrogen. And that's very susceptible to oxytocin. Whereas older women, cougars, and younger men can be more casual sexually without bonding. So you have to watch
mm-hmm.
out for nature.
Yeah, he's like 61, and I'm 48.
Yeah, that
seemed like he was pretty bonded.
That's the cycle. How old are you?
I don't. 48.
You're in this too. You're perimenopause if you haven't already gone through menopause.
Yeah, not yet. But
nature doesn't want any puppy mills. So it It tries to get people with diverse chemistry to get together and make babies.
Yeah. And do you think, he's not contacting me anyway, but I imagine it's best to not have any contact if I want
He and his wife will get back together because they experienced you.
I don't want to create anyone's unhappiness.
If you can't cause pain taking care of yourself, you have to hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is a signal for change.
Yeah.
Something's got to change. Pain does not hurt you. What you do about pain and what you don't do about pain can hurt you.
Yeah.
But pain doesn't
hurt
you.
It
simply flags you. What?
Mm-hmm. What do you think to get over it?
Well, date other people. Be unfaithful to them.
Mm-hmm. You think it's good to do it right away or wait a little while?
Right away. You don't have to wait, but don't start any heavy-duty sexual relationship until you're done with, until you've been stolen from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to look at a dating app, but it was kind of like making me feel sick.
But, I have no problem with you dating, whatever. Just don't pretend that you're really emotionally available when, in fact, you're just recovering from being neglected, lied to.
Mm-hmm. You mean to share that or just to notice that myself?
Just all you have to say to anybody you're dating who cares, I'm getting over a relationship. And I don't want to use you or lead you on. You asked, and I'm telling you the truth. I enjoy dating you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That's a great way to say it.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Okay, bye, guys.
Good luck. Start that duty dating.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's important, Dr. Allen. It's one of the points you make is getting up and moving and not sitting there.
Absolutely.
And sort of waiting. Oh, we've got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello, I had a question about when I'm going out with my husband, it looks like he is flirting with other women right in front of me. I've spoken with him about this, and he says he's not, but he does, and it really bothers me, and I'm not sure what...
I understand that. That's an issue of etiquette. My recommendation is, when he does that and you're present, get up and go to the bathroom every time he does it. See, what he's doing... He's being gregarious, he's being funny, he's being a human being, but the issue is he's doing something that's causing you pain, and so do something in return. And my advice to you is when he lacks etiquette, not morality, etiquette, go to the bathroom. Until he says, why do you keep going to the bathroom? Because as you flirt, which you have a right to do, it's painful for me and I'd rather not watch.
Okay.
You see? Don't put it in the category of immorality. Is he an extrovert or an introvert?
He he's usually quite introverted. That's why when he does decide to start flirting, it's very different and very obvious from his natural nature.
His natural nature is introverted?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. It still is going to take the same treatment. You have the right to not be in a situation where etiquette is not being practiced. Not morality, etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
He's natural. He's men do.
You're
when
saying
women flirt with other men. They really don't like it. What?
I'm wondering, like, I know some of the women he flirts with, he has no interest in them, and I feel like he's doing it just for like, an ego.
He strokes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how come he
receives
strokes from me.
Do you have a good relationship?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right. Well, apparently he wants more strokes. What I'm telling you is don't make it a big moral issue. Make it an issue of etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of flagging him with your mouth, go to the bathroom.
And then if it keeps happening, like it doesn't stop, can I just say I don't feel well and leave? Because I really can't even stand to be there.
If you've driven in a car by yourself, you may say, I want to drive myself there in case you need to flirt more than I can handle.
Okay. Because I know in the past he said, oh, just signal me if I'm doing that and I'll try to stop.
That's exactly right. You know the timeout signal I teach for tools? You know the teeth, the hands, forming a T that the referee does. That's my fifth tool. And that's a nonverbal way to say I'm hurting. So why not signal him by giving him a T? He asked for it.
Yeah, sometimes it's so painful for me that it's hard for me to even do a simple signal because it just seems so obvious in my mind. And so,
darling, what you're doing is mind reading and expecting him to mind read. He asked you to signal him when he does something painful. I'm telling you, my fifth tool is a T like a referee that signals him you're having some discomfort. And he immediately says to you, what can I do to help you feel better right now? And you'll say, stop flirting with the pretty waitress.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
He said so.
That's really helpful. A lot of tips there.
All right.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks,
You're
caller.
Welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. That's very interesting, Dr. Allen. Etiquette, making it a point of etiquette, I think that's inspired.
That is, I've always taught that because I really don't consider, there are gregarious extroverted
Hello?
People that like to flirt.
Yep, that's true.
Hostess doesn't put a husband and wife next to each other.
No.
Because a good hostess wants energy flowing. That's
yes.
called flirting.
Exactly. All right. I think we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air
Hello.
With Dr.
Yeah.
Allen.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mariana. I'm a Dr. Ted Allen fan. I bought her book, first book, read them, you know, Getting to ID and the Man, The Truth About a Man was such a free. And I'm dating a guy. We are monogamy and longevity and continuity. So, you know, we have the physical relationship, you know, going well, everything. My question is, neither of us has said, I love you to each other. So I feel I can say that, but I want to wait for the guy to say it because I don't want to be male. Is that what a female should do? Wait for the man to say, I love you first?
Kelly, can you tell me some of the words blurred for me?
Yes, I think she is asking if she should wait for him to say, I love you first.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is, many, many men don't say words. They do deeds that say, I love you. So you have to decide if you're willing to accept words or you're willing to accept deeds and thank him for showing his love.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, he's telling me.
We women, we use 5,000 words to their 2,500.
Okay. Yeah, he's doing good deeds. Yeah, he's helping organize my... They remodel the house, you know, putting the laundry, doing stuff for me. Of course, I cook dinner for him. So, I think I still want to wait for him to say I love you before I say I love you. That will make me feel more feminine, more cherished. Even though he's doing deeds that show me that he loves me.
Okay. So what she's saying is, and correct me, caller, if I'm wrong, because it's very hard to hear you. I believe she's saying that he is showing actions that prove that he loves her, but I think she would like to hear that he loves her, but that's not how everybody works. You know, men don't necessarily say that. You know, it's like the old adage, actions speak louder than words. So while it's really wonderful to have somebody verbalize that, I've had people verbalize it where I knew that it wasn't true, and other people not verbalize it where their actions, their behaviors, that proved it.
Okay. So, is that okay? I say I love you first.
I don't, Dr. Allen, she's asking, is it okay if she says she loves him first?
Yes, it's okay as long as she doesn't expect him to say, I love you too. If he's being manipulated, you know, that's, please. If he acts loving or he says loving, it's the same loving.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful book out there, The Five Languages of Love. We all have special. Some of us like respectful appreciation. Some of us like touching. Some of us like getting gifts. Do you see? Quality time. So I don't want you to punish him for showing love, you see. I want you to appreciate whatever sign he's giving you that shows love.
Yeah, because it could be a cultural issue too, because there's a lot of cultures that, you know, like for instance, Hispanic gentlemen often have, especially if they were raised in Mexico, they have a thing called machismo. and they don't necessarily behave that will say they love their mother, but they may not say they love anybody else because they're like the macho man. So a lot of cultural issues can affect what language people say. Beyond speaking a different language, they use different words or different actions.
But this man is a Caucasian, born and raised here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think his language is...
Lots of men consider, I love you, I want to marry you. And if they're not ready to propose to you, they can't say, I love you, because it means, I want to marry you, and they don't mean it yet.
Oh, I see. So I should be very patient to that. I should not say, I love you, to him, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because across America, you will come into even different cultures, subcultures here. Midwestern men and Southern men and cowboys, they all behave differently than guys from New York or California. It's a total different culture.
Okay. So, he is born and raised here. He's from California. So,
California?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean his parents were.
That's true, because my parents were raised in the Midwest, and my parents raised us differently than people in California, even though I lived in California since I was 3. So very different values, and different values, like Aunt Dr. Allen said, sometimes it's the big meatball. When he says, I love you, that means I'm going to marry you, I'm willing to marry you, I mean to marry you, or that's the connotation. So, I mean, that can really put people, that can really put men off, I think, and it that holds them back.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay. So if I say I love you first, then he would feel pressured. He would feel stressed, right?
I'm sorry, you have to repeat that. I couldn't understand.
I said, if I said I love you to him first, then he would feel pressured, right?
Yeah, it might be a pressure situation. Like Dr. Allen said, you don't want to manipulate him into saying it, because that puts a whole new stressor on the relationship.
Right. So I just wait. I would just be patient. I'm the feminine.
That's it. That's the word. Passive. Patient and vulnerable. Exactly. That's exactly Dr. Allen's mantra. Passive, patient, and vulnerable. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
When you want to say just, you know, take a deep breath and maybe pinch your earlobe or something. Stop yourself.
Okay, because what I did to him, he found love too, because, you know, I'm very sincere, I'm peaceful now, we do things together, and we're very compatible, physically, emotionally, and intellectually. So, so I think I need to give him more time. I need to be, like I just said, patient and vulnerable.
That's right. Passive, patient, and vulnerable. That's Dr. Allen's keyword. Yes, passive. Let him be the man. You know, that's what Dr. Allen teaches us. You know, if you want to be the feminine energy, then let him be the masculine. Don't try to manipulate or push him. It'll happen.
Okay. So I should not initiate going out with that. Just let him be the man, right?
I'm sorry, we're having a really bad connection, but,
what I'm saying is, for dating, going out to do stuff, I should not initiate it, right? I let him make plans, initiate it.
If he asks you, she's talking about negotiating, making plans, Dr. Allen.
What about negotiating, making plans?
Are you asking if you can negotiate or you wait for him to negotiate?
Not negotiate. I mean, initiate.
Initiate. He should initiate, typically.
Yes. Okay.
Or she should make an appointment.
Yes.
She should make an appointment. I want to talk to you about our plans for next weekend. When would it be convenient to do it and where? You know, you can make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, and question. He can make an appointment to bitch, moan, teach, preach, and question.
All right, girls, we're out of time. Okay. Dr. Allen, thank you, caller.
Thank you, Dr. Allen.
Bye-bye, caller. Dr. Allen, what have you got to say before we run?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
All right, everybody, private appointments, even for the live script, info@drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook and visit our website, www.drpatallen.com. We love you. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.